Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Gosh, Daddy Hugo looking wicked and you're fine.
Oh, bro.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, mysterious girl. Pierre Andre.
So,
and that's an intro.
Met him once.
Yeah. Have you?
Yeah.
Have I?
Oh, no. It's when I was like 12 at Legoland.
Oh, talk us through it.
He was doing like a performance there for like I was just there on the off chance.
Was I there?
The off. No, you didn't exist yet to me.
Yeah.
You were nothing to me. And yeah, he was there doing a little show in that, and I spotted him.
Nice.
So there you go. Do I know Pierre Andre?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Do I? No, because I didn't exist yet.
No.
Yeah,
anyone.
Nah, exactly. How you feeling,
just
man?
Your parents.
Well, I literally only knew my parents up until the age of 11.
Yeah.
I was a very solemn child.
A wild child.
Yeah.
Not let him out of his room.
Yeah, exactly, because they used to lock me up. But it was good for me. It's good for me.
Yeah. Well,
that's why I'm so overexcitable now, probably, innit? Can't believe it. I'm allowed to do things.
Yeah, just waiting to be locked back up.
How you feeling, man? End of the series, man. Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, God.
Talk us through some of your favourite moments.
I mean, every episode was a favorite
in a
moment,
way,
but
yeah.
I really loved Grim Sickers, Yasin, it's, I mean, all of them.
We don't
I
have
can't
to say
really...
like the names of the people, just the exact moments, more like,
yeah.
I like the way that Grim didn't let us interview him and just interviewed us. That's quite refreshing.
Yeah, I like that too. The thing is, I don't listen back to the edits because first of all, they're an hour long and I was there at the moment.
Because frankly, I've got more important things to be doing.
Not even that. I just think if I start to overthink it and then it just turns into a nightmare.
No, don't worry, because I always listen back to them and make sure I take out all your racist bits.
Yeah, thank God for that. Don't cancel me yet. Got a bloody car I got paid for.
It was a sick series, man. Big up everyone that came on. Shout out all you lot for listening. And we are ending in style, I'd say.
You've cashed in a lot of favours.
I've cashed in a lot of favours, yeah.
I don't know who we're going to get for the next series.
Well, I don't know. People have stopped replying to me now. So
yeah.
Let's see. Do you know what I mean?
We'll work it out.
But listen, worry not, because the last episode is upon us,
Yeah. And it's a special. It's a big one.
It's a big one. Yeah.
Very big.
Well, exactly. Because today's guest is someone very special. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Someone who's literally helped carve out the UKG scene with his bare hands and bare voice. Someone who's had an integral part of our musical upbringing. Someone whose style has inspired some of the biggest artists in the world.
Drake.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Yeah. Someone who's put the days of the week into lyric form before I even did. Yeah?
Yeah, the originator.
Yeah. Someone who's brought the word rewind out of the underground into the popular culture mainstream populace. Yeah?
Wow.
It's the man whose talent sees no end. From singing, to spitting, to DJing, to weightlifting. It's the man who always smells impeccable. The legendary, the trailblazing UK... Well, in fact, scrap that. Worldwide icon is Craig David. Not an antivirus.
McAfee.
That's got nothing to do with Craig David. It's just sound.
No, it doesn't. But it just felt good. Felt right.
This is nothing more than an intro.
Yo.
Hey.
Oh, you're coming in crisp.
Boy, well, you hear that sounding crazy.
Ooh, that's sounding crisp.
I've got the SSL.
Bro, I'm looking, everyone's got the SM57s on.
Of course, come on. Yeah.
Come on.
Jeez. How you feeling?
Yeah, good, man.
Yeah, good, man. How are you, man?
I'm calm, man. I'm hyped, man. I'm so glad that the record is different.
Yeah, wicked. It's great.
Yeah, man.
Wicked.
Yeah, yeah. Fred done some magic on that, man.
Yeah.
Because he's made it sound sick as well.
Big up, Fred.
Super gassed, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, when that drops, people are going to be a mass.
Yeah, I hope so.
Sure.
I hope so.
Yeah. We know so.
Yeah, you know when it's just like a proper one that you, I guess when you hear Flowers or you hear, I don't know, Sweet Like Chocolate, or you just hear, I don't know, with a little bit
Rewind.
Of lung, you know what I mean? You just, I didn't want to say it. I was waiting for you. I was teeing it up, but like, you know what I mean?
A little bit of lung, you know, you're one of the classics, come on.
One of the Artful Dodger classics, you know?
Jeez, man, that's when you know. So yeah, gas.
Yeah.
But how are you guys? Are you right though? Everything
yeah,
cool,
man.
Good, man. Yeah, just same old, really. Just finishing up the album. Just getting everything together, really, man. How about yourself?
Do you know what? It's been calm. Like, I'm enjoying sort of going into the studio, doing a couple of days. Because before it was kind of like, you know, in between like doing shows and stuff, there would be like studio, sort of trying to make it work. Whereas now it's like, I go in, it's free. Yeah. Like, I come in like this morning, like 5 a.m. Like, those times didn't happen before.
Yeah.
Like, I locked it off. Like, we're out by like 9, 10 and got to get sleep. Yeah. Vibing.
Yeah.
It's wicked, man. I'm having a good time.
It's really good being able to like focus on, because in our line of work, there's like, you've got loads of different hats on. You know what I mean? It's the live, it's the recording, it's the writing.
Yeah.
But it's good to be able to focus on things in an isolated way. Do you know what I mean? And give it your all.
Totally. Totally.
Well, without having to do 55 things in a day, like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Allowing spontaneity. That's a word.
That's the yes. one. You know what I mean? I'm telling you. Do you know what? It's, remember like, I don't know, for some people, probably this doesn't really mean too much, but when you used to go and buy CDs and you used to get up in the morning, it was a whole event, right? You're putting your I don't know what you're wearing. If you've got your Mosh on, you've got your Reebok Classics, you're making your way down to HMV or Virgin Megastore. They're putting the new releases up. Yeah. You're gassed. You're trying to get in there quick. You're going over to one of those like little towers where they got the headphones to listen to the tunes. Yeah. It was a movie, just to go and get a record. And I feel like having that time was what made it special. Yeah. And for the first time in a long time, I feel like we're getting a little bit of that back going into the studio. And it's like not under pressure.
Yeah.
You're like,
now
I'm going to go there and maybe we won't go today.
Yeah, it's calm. Exactly. You're right. It's like you saying, you go, that spontaneity. You're like, you've got time to like listen to a few tunes and go, actually, maybe not this one. Or maybe, hey, do you know what? Let's try this.
Yeah.
You know, whereas before it was like you said, in between shows, you've got Craig, you've got one day here, that's one day here. And you're like, I'm going to have to just do it. You know what I mean? Whereas now it's like, it is that, I guess the last time we had that was when you was a teenager, when it was just all about just the love for it. Do you know what I mean?
It's that. You remember those, well, we always kind of sometimes harp back to sort of childhood memories because I guess that was the time where hopefully your parents were like, you're in a house, you're not really thinking about what's in the fridge, you're not paying any rent, you're just living. Somehow bills get paid and you know what I mean?
It's a selfish time of your life. It's just all about you, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that. So I feel like we're trying to like pull back some of that as adults now to get more of that back in some way.
Yeah, for sure.
So anytime we get a bit of time, we're like, whoa,
yeah.
Am I allowed?
Yeah,
to?
Yeah.
And then you remember you're still paying the bills.
Yeah,
so you
get that
remember.
Worry.
You have to. You know what I'm saying?
I financed a really expensive car. That's what I think.
Bro, I'm telling you, you guys got, but you know what? The vibe that I've always got from you, even from afar before we even met, was like the hustle that you do like to get to the position where everyone sees like the after effect, the output of wow, this is, but the work behind it, your work ethic is incredible, but it almost feels like a labor of love for you guys at the same time. So it's like,
100%. It doesn't ever feel like work. Only traveling for like 7 hours in a van, a little bit, but we're all together having fun. So kind of,
And those are the moments where, sometimes you might feel like, that's work. But when you reflect on it, especially now, you miss those times.
Yeah. And there's six of us rolling together. So it's never like a dull moment of like complete silence staring out the window. Like, this is long.
I love that. I imagine that one of you, like someone picks up the load. If someone's kind of like, you know what? Hugo's not with us today, you know. Yeah. He's like, it was a heavy one yesterday. Yeah. Like, always, whatever. Yeah. Like, someone else picks up the wow, someone's
yeah,
hyper.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Just
yeah.
Just
that's
like,
exactly
wow.
It, have, man. It's always someone.
We have yeah. a man of the match system. So whoever yeah. killed it that day, which it can be yeah. any way possible, you win man of yeah. the match. That's it.
Love yeah, that. Yeah, yeah. Love that.
Hey guys, it's Ron. I've just come back from a retreat where I was meditating to one of the deities called Baba Ganoush. I had a great time, and I hope y'all will too, listening to this podcast. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
So, like, where we've obviously all been at home a little bit more, and that, have you you got any things that you've been watching, listening to, or reading? Anything that you can kind of recommend for the people?
Yeah, do you know what? One movie that I loved was the Pixar movie Soul.
Yeah, amazing. Bruv,
that's incredible. I watched that with my nephew as well, and he's like 12, coming on 13, and he's started to come with, you know, questions, you know, like. Oh, you're lucky because you found what you love in life. You know what I mean? And he's only like 12 yeah. years old, but he's obviously no. worrying about that, right? And it's amazing because that film was all about that. So I feel like it helped put it into perspective for him, and I didn't really need to say much. You know what I mean?
It's great with them kind of movies yeah. when you watch and, like you said, it says everything that needs to say on the tin.
Yeah.
But I think the real takeaway for me, it was two things. Was one, that if you over procrastinate and you're too much the perfectionist, because I could kind of relate to that, you get disconnected. You know, there's those big kind of monster things that were in the like, desert, roaming around, a bit lost. Yeah. You end up being that, like just like stats. I've got to get the next tune. And I was like, wow, okay, I feel that. And then the other part was when, I don't want to give it away to anyone who's going to like go and watch the movie, but. It just felt the overall vibe was when you get the thing you want, it wasn't quite that.
Yeah.
It was all the sum of the parts that was going on.
It was the process, you know what I mean? Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. But you're right. And I guess it's both the same thing, not getting lost within the process, but enjoying it. Right. And, I think it's so important. Yeah. Because it wasn't just like a black and white. It wasn't saying, don't follow your dreams because you're going to forget everything else. And it wasn't saying don't have a dream. It's like, I think it's really interesting, man. And like, yeah, not like you say, not just kids. It's like, I learned something watching that as well.
Yeah, same.
And especially with, you know, being like people that are into like music or creatives, it directly talks to us. Do you know what I mean? Like, so
it's the music element felt like it was like, oh yeah, I get it. Do you know what I mean? Maybe I'm not playing the same jazz notes, but the guy's going to do some crazy notes there, right? Yeah. Like I was seeing more like, you know what I mean, more of a guy effects. Yeah, like, do you know what I mean? You hit the stage and then it's like, okay, is this? I thought this was going to be the one. Yeah, but I thought this was going to bang differently. It kind of went off, but it didn't go off. Yeah. So I think it was just like, there's a lot of takeaways. Yeah. So I think a good recommendation for anyone who hasn't seen Soul, like to check for that movie. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like a fun one. Is there any movie? What about you? What are the movies that you're like, wow, that's been my go-to from lockdown?
Sound of Metal. Have you seen that yet? It's Riz Ahmed. And not to give anything too much away, but it's about him being a drummer and something happens and then...
Right,
you know, and it affects his career basically. Yeah, but it's incredible, man. Yeah.
You said what was the name again? Sorry,
Sound of Metal.
Yeah, it's
Sound
on Amazon now, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
And it's up for an Oscar as well. And he's the first Muslim guy to be up for an Oscar as well. So
really?
Quite a big deal.
Love.
And he's British. You know what I mean?
That's so crazy. You know, that's crazy. The first time.
Love that. That's you know what I love about that is because things are changing.
Yeah,
man. It's just like, you know what I mean. Finally, we're kind of breaking boundaries across the board. Yeah. You know, like stuff that, there were certain times and certain eras where you're like, okay, people would say that's just how it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got to just get with the program. Yeah. But now it's like, everything's like the carpet has been pulled.
Yeah, man.
And it's all up in the air. And it needs to settle. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes you don't really know where we're moving. Do you know what I mean? It can get too hectic, but you see when it lies, you say, wow, right, we can see where we land now. We know where we're at.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's a good time for people.
I feel like the internet has done that. You know what I mean? I feel like...
Definitely.
No one can like hide in... And you know, and for the bad things as well, it's like people are, you know, the grass has been cut so you can see where everyone stands. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But that's, I guess that's important, like you say, for things to settle down again, rather than it being hidden. Do you know what I mean? Because
totally.
Everyone always was like that, but now you can see it. Yeah. I mean, see people for who they are.
Or you kind of think, like, I remember a few years ago, the Grammys, and it was like Macklemore and Kendrick were up for a Grammy, and like, Kendrick didn't win. And I kind of just assumed that, like, Kendrick surely, he changed the world with that album. Like, Macklemore had a hit, but Kendrick changed culture, and he didn't get it. I was like, that's fucking mad. Like, how did he not?
I think we're getting to a point where that this is getting very transparent. Yeah. So what's happening is that even it's almost looking like, wow, shame on you then, because you're not, for you to not recognize this, it's like you're boxing yourself into this world that's like, well, everyone else is seeing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it kind of diminishes what the platform is value. That's trying to be like, now you got to come to us to, like, you know what? Yeah. Nah. If it doesn't marry with what's going on out there, which is kind of goes back to good music as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's club tunes that are going off and you're like, this is what's really happening. Yeah. You don't need to be the craziest A&R guy in the world with certain tunes yet. When a tune's a tune, it's a tune.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And like, and it doesn't almost sometimes need someone to say, well, it's a tune and it got this, so now it's really a tune. Like, 100. you don't go into a club and listen to a tune and say, wow, that was number 15.
That's how I really like
Man's going to pull back. I'm going to pull back a little on this one. Yeah. Number one, I got to really like let go on it. It's nonsense.
Yeah, it's true. It's so true. And I feel like it's interesting talking to you with this as well, because you've been there throughout all the changes and the different eras. Mm. Because, you know, before... Like, having someone like you, like, say, do Rewind or whatever, and that be in the charts, that's a massive deal, isn't it? That's like when, you know, Garage, especially Garage as well, it's like an underground music from London, you know what I mean? Or England. And that's then in the charts. So that's a massive change. And now we're seeing it where pop music now in England is...
Drill.
Like Jay Huss, Drill. Yeah. You know, like all these different artists. What's it? Fredo and Dave, number one.
Man.
Like, That was unheard of before.
Yeah,
but
wicked,
I feel like
wicked.
You were there from when that first started changing. Do you know what I mean? And it took a while.
I feel you.
You know what I mean?
It did. Mm. Do you know what? You know me. I'm. It's always like I love being part of it, but I know it's such a team effort. There's so many players and guys. Look, you've been in this. Yeah, you really have. That's what I said about like the stuff behind the scenes. It pops off at this point, but behind the scenes, it's like, wow, there was like 5, 6, 7, 8 years in this that kind of got to that.
Yeah, for sure.
To see it open the floodgates, I feel for me, was like, it allowed anyone in the UK at first to say, well, where's he from? Mm. What, Southampton? Mm. Where's that?
Yeah.
Like, it was that first. Like, what, he's not from London.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, okay, well, if you are in Manchester or you're in Birmingham, it was like, oh, well, so we've got the first tick box of we can do it in a different city that's not London.
Yeah.
And then... opening that floodgate, when it opens, it opens differently. Do you know what I mean? Because there's going to be a new wave of stuff, man. When you notice those artists and you mentioned them, I said, look, wow, like they're opening the door for another generation to come through and another generation, to the point where there's no, you've got to be anywhere.
Yeah, I love that.
For sure.
It's wicked, man.
That's interesting. It's definitely interesting about, you not being from London, because even when we was growing up, like even after you opened that gate, it was, you know, like, especially with like, I guess like grime and stuff like that. It's like you had to be from London. And then now, you know, you've got like people like Mist, JK, H, it don't matter, Bugsy Malone, it don't matter where you're from. And that's up north. That's, you know, you still sound like you're from London to someone from London. Do you know what I mean? Whereas that's people with completely different accents. That was another step of... almost like, you know, like how when you get an American and they're like, I don't really know what they're saying on a British track, even though it's the same language.
That's kind of
what London people were like to someone from Manchester. Like, you know, like you understand.
You do understand. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like you, there's this filter that's kind of put on at first. Yeah. And it's like, again, it's breaking through that. And then when it breaks, everyone's on it. Do you know what I mean? It's like you start to, everyone's like, no, I need to have Bugsy Malone on the record. I need to have H on the record. You start reaching now, because you're just like, wow, that's actually the new way.
And it's normal now. You know, at that
it's
point.
Normal.
Sorry, yeah.
And technology seems to have moved on in a way that's allowed people to not have to fork out a fortune to kind of get into a studio.
Yeah, true.
And like it was not, I won't say elitist, but it was expensive, man. Like if you didn't have a proper board and equipment, you ain't
now
got a studio.
All these tunes are made on Fruity Loops in like a teenager's bedroom, and it's sick. and like they don't need anything. Like even Fred again, like he plays keys on his laptop keys. Like that's it. It's plugged into speakers.
I see him making beats on the tube on his, on his videos. He's just making them on a tube on his laptop, bro. Hits.
It's a wave.
I've got a story about Dave actually. When before Dave was signed, not signed, but before he was out, my friend managed or was part of his management team, and they sent me his
Sam and Jack.
Yeah, they sent me a tune and they were like, "Do you want to work with this kid?" And I listened to it, I thought it was all right. And I was like, "Yeah, you know what, why not? Like, doesn't massively excite me, but why not?" And I did one session with him. We kind of made a beat together and that was it. And then we did another one. And it wasn't, it didn't really excite me too much. But then during the session, I think it might have been his brother was in jail and he called him and he started rapping down the phone. And at that point, I was, like, and it was amazing. And at that point, I was like, fucking hell, this guy is sick. And then that was the last session I had with him.
Oh, man.
But at that point, I was like, I get this kid now. He's sick. Like, he's the future. And that was it.
But you know what? I love that story, bro. But you know what? Also, like, the fact that you, again, it was the time, if you hadn't had the time to experience that, if it had all been super rushed, you may have had a different experience. It would have been like, okay, Cole's in there. It was like, we did a beat and it was whatever. But the time to, then you get it and you're like, you had that moment where
and
you're
then
like,
he had to go.
This guy's
he was
moving
like,
different.
I've got to go. I've got to go do something. And I was like, yeah, cool. Like,
time again. Time got involved.
And then I missed it. He's like the best, in my, one of the best, in my opinion. So
yeah, man. Yeah,
Dave.
For sure.
Ring me, man.
Yeah, no, Dave, if you're listening.
So I'm saying we've done the reminisced on it. We talked about it, but we need to bring the circle round. Isn't that what this is all about? I remember walking in when we met, guys. Yeah. We're bringing a circle round.
100%, 100%.
Man,
exactly.
I remember being like 15, and I saw you wearing Levi Twists and Stan Smiths, and I made my mum get me the full Levi Twit suit and the Stan Smiths. I thought, oh, chicks might like me. It didn't work. But, yeah, man.
Not anyone. No one gave you a compliment on them.
Never,
on the
man.
Twist.
Oh, the Twits, of course.
It didn't work without Craig's face.
Yeah.
It's just your
body. Oh, my God. Do you know what? They were good. Bro, those things, I've actually still got a jacket, from original Aviso. I pulled it out the other day, and now, I mean, that would be called vintage, that people, but it was a period of time. Like in between stages, like when you're getting your hair cut, and it's sort of, you want to grow it longer, but it gets in that middle stage where it's like, nothing's really going on. So it's either like, you got to wear a hat or you sort of got to just ride it for a while. So there's a moment when no one was caring for it. They're like, oh yeah, whatever. Or spliffy jeans.
Yeah. Oh,
remember spliffy
jeans and
Eclipse. Clips. Deodora, Tassini or whatever. Them, all them Kappa tracksuits. It all went a bit like, left for a minute. And then when it comes back full circle, wow, now everyone's like, what, you got the original, original Reebok Classics. It's mad.
Ask. If you don't ask, boy, you don't get. Ask.
Talking of those times, like, let's take it back, right? How did, so you were raised in Southampton, right? Yeah. So talk us through your relationship with music, your childhood, how you got into it, your home life and Southampton and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, I grew up with my mum. My mum and dad, like, split up when I was about eight, but my dad would always come around like on a Sunday and pick me up, and we'd go like Poulton's Park or Cheshunt World Adventures.
Oh man, I used to live in Cheshunt, bro.
My dad would do the same
I worked there for two seasons, bro. I might have seen
on
you
on the real. Bro, I would have been passing through trying to get to the go-karts. Hyper. Oh my God, to get to the go-karts was the one. I was just like, couldn't get, I was too excited. So he'd always play music in the car, like when we're going, and these times he was playing, it was more kind of like reggae, dancehall. They used to have these compilation tapes, like reggae hits, volume one all the way through to, I don't know, it's probably like 105 now. And then Ragga.
Yeah.
So I was always listening to sort of dancehall artists.
Sick.
So I loved that. Yeah. That was where I got that influence. And then living at home with my mum, like, she'd be playing from Stevie Wonder to Donny Osmond, the Osmonds. Wow. Like,
he's got a voice, though.
Call it puppy love. Yeah. Some puppy love thing. Wow. So I was kind of, I was hearing that side. And then in the mix of all that, I was like listening to, say, like jungle hits. Whatever it was.
Or was it like happening outside of your home kind of thing? Like that sort of stuff?
Yeah, it was like, I was just I just absorb in music. Yeah. And I found like it was like, so I kind of understood song structures, but also knew about the hype, you know. I love bass lines. So I guess that's why I kind of gravitated to dancehall and jungle.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they were all the same world. It was like just sampling from dance, from reggae
sounds.
And same with Garage.
And you can mix them both because the same tempo just, you know, doubled.
Yeah. And that's why I think why Garage was such a big thing for me, because like it was the same. I heard it as R&B. I'm hearing all the R&B like records that have been sampled. Yeah. And I'm thinking, wow, this is like a slow jam. And they just put a Garage beat on it and all of a sudden it's popping
this
up.
This is slow jam that I can dance to in a club and it doesn't have to be the last tune.
That's it. Bro, Rewind to me, that's why with Rewind, wasn't that Rewind's like, even though it was like, to go halftime for me sweetened my whole life because I was like, wow, halftime, this is like, the first time I did that in a club, people were looking. It wasn't like they didn't want to turn up, but they didn't know what to do. It was just like,
what's this?
It's a Garage club, right?
Yeah.
You got the gun finger, you got the lighter, vibing, it's moving. And all of a sudden it was like halftime, like man did like some slow jam thing at under 18s gig, where you're going to go like find a girl for the last 15 minutes and do a trick. Bro, what happened to those? They were good times, man. You wait to the end, DJ, slow it down. And it's finally, you could go over to the girl and like, can we do a slow dance? Can we? That was your moment. That got dashed.
Spent hours fucking
now you're going
curry.
For a kebab. And since you turn you down and you're just like, oh, what is it?
Well, you mean you're in the corner on just your own and be with me.
Mad. Sitting in the corner, listening to slow jams on yourself. On your
seeing
Jack
your brethren
like,
lips in some chick. But you promised you'd go back with him.
That was me, man.
Different times. Wow, crazy times, right? Yeah. But yes, so Southampton was for me, imagine all that feeling. Growing up, my mum, like she supported me like crazy, and my dad, like getting me up with my first record deck.
Yeah.
First Technics 1210, which was like a game changer.
Oh, so you, did you start with DJing as well, kind of thing?
Yeah, I wanted to buy records. So I love that whole idea of like going to the record store, listening to the records and then taking them home. And playing them on my mum's like belt-driven like hi-fi deck wasn't really the one after a while. So I was like,
I had that as well,
I'm hearing that, it's not the one, right? Especially if you start touching it. You don't want to...
Bro, I thought scratching was getting the needle and scratching it up and down on the record. So I've done that to my mum's vinyls. Fucked it up.
Yeah, hammer.
But the first deck, is all good for your birthday, except when you haven't got the mixer and a second deck, it makes it a little bit difficult to use it in any way. You're sort of like, cool, so what are we going to do with this then?
Or a speaker, just listening with your ear next to it.
One speaker, no cables. No amp. No nothing. Just okay, this is wicked. The speaker looks great, but I'm not sure.
A speaker?
Yeah, should we turn it upside down, make it into like a table or a shelf? So I had to wait till... So I got one for my birthday, Technics 1210, and then it was like the following, the Christmas... Actually, I was gassed because I got a Sega Mega Drive. Yeah, that was the one. When I got that, came through with Altered Beast, the Sonic the Hedgehog. Sensible Soccer. Different game.
Bird's Eye View,
bro. It was like, that was almost Sabutio. It was the FIFA, but not quite. Graphics would look different now if you watched them now. You'd be like, oh my God. They look like 2-bit things moving around. But then it was like, wow.
It's big squares now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mad. But when I got both record decks and the mixer, game changer. Then I could start making mixtapes, could start mixing.
When is your birthday?
May 5th.
Raw. So May to December was a massive weight to get the rest of it.
Looking at you.
That's different. Yeah. And especially you got the earth. You got there was one cable comes about the earth. And you're still not quite sure what you're supposed to do with that either. You're just like, well, okay, what's that attaching to then?
Buzzing.
Yeah, it's true. You got to be your own technician. Like, you know what I mean?
You got to. Yeah. But you learn, innit? You learn quick. Like, that plugging in cables and being a box boy for a different DJ when I first started off, like, it's all like, oh, those experiences. Yeah. I mean, you experience what your back can deal with. Also, like, wow. When I saw the key, when you see the chain with the MP3 in it, you're like, bro, you have no idea what you missed. Because
I'm lugging this around to a house party and I've got to keep my eye on it because there's about 200 quid worth of vinyl in there.
Bro, the pain. Do you know what I mean? The pain. First world problems we were dealing with. It was different. So, so good days, man. Like, all that led to then going out there and actually experiencing being in the clubs. And that was like the proper game changer. So I was grateful for my mum, like for spending money she didn't have.
And supporting and
beyond
understanding.
Because £350, man.
Especially back then, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was grateful. Grateful.
And what was it like? Southampton's not too far from London, so but like, did it have its own little scene there and culture and that, or did you need to kind of make that step to London to be able to get into the sort of scene? What was it? How did it work?
Do you know what it was? Southampton had its little bubble going on, and I didn't really know about London. Like, I knew obviously of London and bits of what were going on up there, but it was like, for me, it was all really small catchment area, like from my flat where I was living. The club that I was going to was like 5 minutes. Southampton's quite small in that respect. Maybe Bournemouth was a stretch, kind of that would be like, oh, we're going out. We're moving. We're going to Cajun Zoo, it was called. I don't know what it's called now. It's like the one on the corner in Bournemouth. Like, you go up the hill and it's like the big main dance club there. Right. And I was like, wow, we're going Cajun Zoo. It's crazy. Man, we'll get like a 5 minute slot. Yeah. Just to play like two tunes. I mean, but also your back is still breaking from the final that you're carrying for next man, right? But you're happy for that 5 minutes. You'll take it in. I used to do a classic, by the way, where I'd say there was a guy called DJ Flash. He was DJ down in Southampton, and we'd be in a club, and I was like his MC. And there was moments where I thought, well, I want a DJ, man. I want just a couple tunes, just a spin a couple. And he'd give me a squeeze once in a while, but if he was gassed, he was just in the zone. And you get to the end of the night, and he'd say, oh, sorry, bro, I was just too hyped. So I'd say, yo, Flash, that girl is looking at you differently. Like, she keeps looking. Like, find the hottest girl that I could find in the club, yeah, right? Just with her mates. She keeps looking. He's like, really? Yeah. I said, every time you keep DJing, you keep missing her. She's looking at you every time. He's like, really? I said, bro, you're going to miss your chance if you don't go. He's like, really? I said, yeah, don't worry, bro. I'll hold the fort. I got you. Just go to... Bro, man's walking out into the club, right, bro? I'm spinning shoes. He's walking over to her. She's looking at her like, what? Like, who the hell are you? What are you talking to? Like, who are you? Like, you know what? And he's sort of waltzing Matilda back through the crowd, yeah? These times, he's too ashamed to kind of even tell me that happened, yeah? So he's sort of having a little hooch in the corner, just calming himself down. I just spun it out differently. I love him. Wow.
That's sick.
Mad scene in Southampton that was building... Because I think the garage scene was like, the Artful Dodger were like the first thing that was kind of happening.
Were they from there as well?
Yeah, well, Mark was originally from Wales.
Okay.
So he moved to Southampton, but Pete Devereux and Mark Hill, the original Artful Dodger were based in Southampton. Right. MC Alistair was MC for them.
Yeah, I met him. Good guy. Yeah.
Yeah, so we were all growing up together. I mean, Alistair was my boy, man. Like, wow, we got some mad stories. Like, when I think of the stuff is like, geez, when I reminisce on the stuff, crazy. But then when I came up to London to do my first Coliseum show with What You're Gonna Do,
Big Artful
Dodger, tune we released. That was when I was like, okay, there's something going on in London, because people were going to London, hearing it on Lush FM and different, this pirate and that pirate saying, I'm starting to hear this tune, What You're Gonna Do. I'm like, okay, cool. I got a PA like this Saturday. I've already given my guy £50 to go in his yellow Fiesta. We've gone up there, boom, like, do the ting, one, two, what you gonna do? Whoa. People gassed, come back down in the Fiesta. Yeah. I mean, here's £50, hold that. And everyone's just hyped. Next, you know, Rewind dropped, and it was like, you're doing Coliseum, twice as nice, Camden Palace. You're doing like, Coco now. And you're just like, something was happening. You're like, wow, something's bigger than Southampton now. And my eyes opened.
Got you. Okay. I got it. That makes sense. And so when you first started, you were DJing or trying to get DJ sets and stuff like that in Southampton. And then how did the link up with Artful Dodger happen, or how did that tune come about? And also, you know, singing wise, I guess, were you always singing kind of on your own sort of, and when did you realize that was going to be your thing, like, apart from just DJing?
I think it was kind of with the Artful Dodger. I met them in one club called Old Orientals, which was, again, right between, I love how the stars align. It was right in the middle between my house and where the studio is for them, right? So it was like, we were waiting to meet, But they were playing House of Garage upstairs. I was playing hip hop and R&B downstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then one time I popped my head up, and these times they were playing, it was like, it's a London thing. Scott Garcia was like, I heard it. I was like,
shout out Scott.
This is our tune. What is this? And I was, like, and then we started, and there was this one Boris de Gluglosh, I was like, I need, what is this? And then next thing you know, we started talking, and Mark said to me, listen, like, he heard me emceeing and singing over records downstairs. Okay. And he's like, do you write songs? I said, man, write songs. Like, I'm in my bedroom with like instrumentals writing all the time. He's like, okay, cool. I goes, what, you make music? He's like, yeah, I do music. Like, but we, you know what I mean? Maybe we could get together and do something. I said, calm. I was gassed, because it was almost like he didn't have a top line vocalist, songwriter, and I didn't have the musician producer. Yeah. When it hit, bam, next thing you know, it just spiraled. And I was like, the garage scene was at the just happening. Mm-hmm. And it was the most exciting. You know how it was when it first started. It was exciting. No one knew who it was. It was like, what? You know those tunes?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how. So in a way, you started on your own in your room on a sort of TS5 flex, like with other people's instrumentals, vibes in, freestyling, coming up with lyrics, and then you met those guys, and then something. That's amazing, man. It is stars aligning, isn't it, man? It's exactly what you said. Yeah.
It's the sum of the parts, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure, man.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
4944, Patrick Robinson speaking. How may I help?
Patrick, it's a video call.
Hello.
I could just see your chin. It should lift the camera up. Oh, okay. I should be able to see you.
Oh, yes.
I'm using my iPhone, you see.
Oh, it's wonderful to see you.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
It's been a while.
It's been a while. I'll tell you what, Patrick, I was just making some Savoy cabbage.
Oh, that's lovely.
And it reminded me of our time. Do you remember our time in the Savoy?
Yes, is Margaret out?
Yes, Margaret's out.
Yes, well, yeah, I do, and it's one of my fondest memories.
It's a very fond memory.
It's a good week.
Jean's not there, is she?
Oh, no. 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 She's started yoga.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I have the place to myself, actually, if you're interested in popping over anytime soon.
Okay.
Obviously, I will need 2 weeks in advance just to prepare.
Well, Patrick, yep. if I could just stop you there. It's a video call, so we could move it into the bedroom.
Yes, that's a great idea. Let me adjust myself, and I will call you straight back.
Okay, roger that.
Okay, stay by the phone.
Thank you.
Oh, it's a mobile. You can keep it on you, can you?
Yes.
Okay, I keep mine on me at all times.
Okay.
Okay.
See you soon.
See you soon.
See you soon.
Bye.
Hey, yo! Yo! Ha-ha! Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha! Will everybody shut the fuck up?
Settle down, settle down!
You're in tune to the Chatting Shit Podcast!
UK Stand Up!
The world's greatest!
The best there ever was that ever lived!
Series 2 out now, motherfucker!
Oh, gosh!
Ha-ha!
Are you ready?
Check it! Check it!
Are you ready?
Check it!
So when did you realise that this could perhaps be, I guess, something that you make a living off and you realise that you can just... Music would be your life, basically.
It's funny because that's that I remember there was a... When I talk about... So like following... The reason I call the 2016 now I'm following my intuition... Mm-hmm. Is that that's when I understood kind of what the word intuition was. But I think as a kid, I didn't really,
good.
You just follow in wherever it feels. Where it feels good, right? There's a time when I was at college and I was I'd finished school. I was at college the first year. I'd done some course, some electronics, NVQ level 2 thing, which I was, the only reason I went for that is because it was like 5 minutes away from where I lived. And
the trade.
It was like, do I get extra time in bed? We'll go with that one. Yeah. And electronic circuit boards was kind of closer to that pin that we were talking about on the 12-10.
I know, phono cables, so, I've got this.
Yeah, like, if I can maybe solder a thing together, it might help me. So I was already on some kind of like in on music. But there wasn't like music courses like there were now. Like back then, it was like, do you want to learn how to, the trumpet is for,
yeah,
do you want to like make a trumpet? It's like, no, I want to just know how Dr. Dre makes a beat if you can. But no, we don't do that right here. We're like, we can tell you a saxophone, like the, you put the top on a saxophone. No, I don't need to know that. I need to know how the beat is.
That's interesting. So that was our generation, I think, was the first generation of being able to do like a music tech course because it got to the computers.
But they were still the real a bit basic lost, computers,
but, like they, but they're still a bit like, and it was way too technical, like what you're saying. You know what I mean? It's way too like...
You need to buy 8
It's basically learning to be a technician, but not an actual artist. You know what I mean?
That's the thing where like, you're absolutely right, but even if you did go, it wasn't like, oh, I can go home on my laptop and I'm going to start like doing beats. It was like, well, no, you've got to use this computer we've got here that's all set up here, the way that it's done here. And you're like, okay, cool. Well, I can't afford any
you
of this.
You need Pro Tools, which costs loads of money. Like,
And you're like, how's that going to work?
It's true.
So yeah, I ended up going from, it was either carry on the course or go to Richard Sounds. And work in Richard Sounds because they had decks in there and they had hi-fi equipment. And I was thinking, maybe I could, wicked man, just be there, just looking, thinking, wow, and they were cheap as well. Like, almost it wasn't, I say cheap, it was just like £100 to get an Iowa double cassette player. Like, you're thinking,
the speakers
wow,
are so
this
light.
Is, we can make this happen. So, like, Jamo speakers. I was like thinking, well, this is heaven to work in here. So, I was either go there, stay at MVQ level 2 thing. And then I started thinking, you know what, the music thing, I met up with Mark Hill and I just said, I've got to make a decision here. And that, I guess, was the first time really following my intuition where I said, I got to sack off this course, which my mum and dad were kind of cool. Like, the academic thing, they didn't really push hard on that. I felt like it was always, do what you got to do, Greg, man. I'll support you. That was wicked.
That's good.
So then I just didn't go. I just ended up not going into the classes.
And how old were you? And this then is, 18, maybe 19?
Yeah, I must have been, maybe, I just finished schools at
16,
17.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm so glad that I did because... Either way, I would have worked Richard Sounds and I would have worked it in one way. I just feel that sometimes the stars always are aligned, but it's just like, when do you want to get
Depends
to that?
Depends how you get
you
there.
Can go, do you want to go through Richard Sounds and then you meet up with Mark because he came through because his deck was mashed up. Uh-huh. And you said, oh, bro, you know what? I know how to use the earthing pin because I went to do the level Q thing. Yeah. And then it start talking and then you do it that way. It's it was going to happen, But I'm so glad that I did because those moments when you come out of college, I think for anyone, or at a school, it's probably a daunting time for a lot of kids because they're just like, they don't know what's the
100%.
What's the play here? Like, I don't really know what I want to do, but maybe there's a part of you that says, I want to work with, you're going to do something crazy. You want to work with dolphins or you want to do something. You're thinking, I can't do that. I've got to do something that's got to be a banker.
I've got to do real life.
Make money.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, real, I've got real estate. You've got to find
Especially
out.
Especially
yeah.
England, I feel. Like, America's a bit more like, you could say, you know, I want to be an astronaut.
Just going for
and
things.
Your parents be like, oh, awesome. Yeah. But here it's a bit more like,
totally.
Learn a trade.
But it's true. It's interesting what you say though, Craig, about like your parents as well. Like, cause you could have had like parents that were like, no, don't do that. Blah, blah, blah. And like you say, you would have got to where you needed to get to in the end, but you might have then spent the next 3 or 4 years doing some dead end job that you didn't want to do and then found out what you wanted to do. Whereas at the time you had that encouragement and you kind of, which gives you the confidence to go, well, let me just go for it.
Yeah,
totally. Totally. I mean, can you remember, I mean, what jobs did you do that you were like,
oh man,
you I mean, there's a list.
Yeah, there's a list.
You said Chesney World Adventures, right?
Call center. Me and the boys all worked in one call center together.
Yeah. I worked and in a soft place.
I know the call center vibe.
Yeah. But you know what? Yeah, it was, there was bare shit ones, but this one was okay because I got Hugo, Asim, and Danny Rankin, Decoy, Danny.
Yeah.
We all worked in there together. And I used to shop my little bit of weed on the side. So I'm getting people to turn up at a call center. I'm pretending to go to the toilet and we take it off record and just prank people all day as well. So it was actually okay. And then I've done cold calling for like Windows and shit like that. And Chesney World Adventures.
The cold calling for wind, bro. I worked for a company called Bow Water Windows, double glazing windows. Yeah. It lasted like, it was the in thing. It was like, it was like a Bitcoin thing was going on. All my friends were like, you got to get on the calling, because if you get a lead, which was like, I don't know, £6 every time you got them to do the thing, you can make a little money, a little change, and you get a wage, a lead, bro, when I called up, the amount of grief that and abuse that I got down the phone was different. Same. Wow. You know how it is when you call someone, cold call them, what they're going to say. And one guy led me on differently. He said, cool. Can you call me back like 7 o'clock? Yeah. Like, this was after hours now, 5:30, I'm done. 7 o'clock, because I'm really interested in the windows. I was like, wow, man, I've got a lead if I can get a little extra. So I call him up 7. Man kept me on the phone for an hour and a half, yeah, to tell me at the end, how's it feel, yeah, to be on the phone, yeah? Someone calls you up, yeah, and just chats in your head and messes up your whole vibe of your day. Did you like that? I took you through that little vibe, wow. You know where you can take your windows? You come, you know what I mean? I was like, wow, you took me for an hour and a half in my own time. And I said, I got to sack this off. This is long. I love the style on it. Crazy. Wow. McDonald's. Worked McDonald's, bro. Have you ever
I've never done McDonald's.
Wow.
Hugo, you did some like more like sort of retail-y type stuff, innit?
Yeah,
like,
I did the soft play. I worked in a soft play thing.
Did you?
It was a lot, man. I worked in Foot Locker. I worked in River Island.
Yes.
Foot Locker was like a cool job, though, isn't it? Remember like the cool people working like JD or Foot Locker or whatever?
Yeah, kind of. But it was hard work, man. And I remember just feeling I got employed as a trainee manager at a shoe shop. And like, I think that after about 2 days, they realized that they made a massive mistake.
Do you know what? I think that those jobs, though, there's a certain amount of kind of suck it and see to find your way. And then the strongest pull will always kind of pull you in where you need to go in it.
I started teaching this guy to make, just to use like Logic and stuff. He paid me £20 and I'd teach him for as long as he wanted. And from that, his best mate worked at Virgin Records and I gave him a beat CD. And then that's what started my
music career.
Yeah, it's weird to say, but started my music career.
Oh.
So I guess it was meant to happen.
That's the thing that I love. I love that there's variety, there's color to all of your journeys of you getting together and you go. It's like for people who want to know and they go and they look to see, let me find out a bit more about you. If you go a bit deeper, you'll be like, oh my God, do you know this? Did you know what the guys did this? And did you know what they went through to get to the place that you're at? That's why I just love the story, because if we didn't do any of these things and it was just presented like this, you'd be like, okay, it's calm, but it's not, it's the strife to get through all the jobs and this and not knowing, and then it lands.
And also, when you're around like people that produce or write songs and stuff and they've been doing it for a long time and nothing's really happened, I felt like at that time that those people had a sense of entitlement, like that they deserve this chance. And I didn't feel that. Like, I was like, I just like doing it. Like, and when opportunity came, I seized it. And obviously those people, it made them even more frustrated. But I didn't, like, I had no pressure on any of that. Like, I'm doing it because I love it.
It was just the love for it. Yeah, for sure. But I think it's important for people to know what happens behind the scenes and how it, long it took, because it's like with anything, in it, it's like with weight loss or whatever. People are like, you know, what is it? There's no magic pill. It's hard work, man. It's hard work, the right timing. And if you love something, it won't feel like hard work, but it takes a lot to put into it. Do you know what I mean? To get anything back out of it.
Totally.
Like you know, working these dead end jobs, whatever, and then making that decision of, that's a risk, that's a gamble. You're making a decision to just, you know, focus on your music because you're going to put everything you have into that and see what comes back out of it. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. And you know what? And they all, it's funny because they all played a part. Because even when I think of, like, say, McDonald's, it was like, you know, when you said, like, you're on the side, you're selling a little weed just to kind of keep it moving, you're doing the thing. Bro, do you remember those little tokens that they used to have on the big
legs? Yes,
Well, they still probably right? Bro, they didn't put me on the front. They put me in the back. Man's in the back, like dealing with like, or just smelling the ketchup and mustard, right? Yeah. And them times you don't want to like, you don't even want to big man. You're just like this. Bro, there used to be a mound of those tokens that were just chilling in the back. Yeah. So I'm like, and these times I think I was still at school, you know? Yeah. I think I was, I was on a school once. So I was just scooping them up and redistributing them back out. Bro, I was that guy. I was the Robin Hood. People were like, bro, have you got this Big Mac once? Yeah, I got bear with a Big Mac once. People were, oh my, you got to make it work.
Yeah,
for you. You know what I mean? I wasn't getting paid enough. Yeah, I was. We got to make it.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Those things always led to that wage slip that I got paid for a record.
Yeah,
The abuse or something you went through for something got me one stage further. It got me closer. And then, when you get there, you say, wow, okay, you all played the part. I don't really necessarily want to go back and I just want to buy a Big Mac and be calm with it. But you had fun.
Yeah, yeah. No, it makes complete sense, man. When did it get to the point where it's like, this is it, this is me now? You know, I don't have to look back anymore. Mm. Like, it's music's my life and I can be comfortable off it.
I don't know if there was ever a time where I've sort of felt like, there's always part of me, and I think that's important, like your ground is never fully locked
that's
in.
True.
I think if you get that kind of attitude, yeah, you start to become a bit like it's locked in. And then when the carpet does get swept, you're going to be like, wow, you are going to get spun out of your thoughts quickly.
It's so true, actually. If anyone asks me that now, I'd be like, I'm still not thinking everything's fine.
Yeah, same.
But, you know, I still might go back to the call center.
Yeah, always.
But I'm telling you, never get too comfortable, man. You're going to come out the loafers differently. Right.
I like that even Craig David thinks that he might have to go back to McDonald's one day.
Listen, at least you got a know, yeah, okay, we got to know what we got to do if we're here. Do you know? Yeah. I didn't even have any stars. It was just a mad one. It was just like, you know, it was nothing to be. I couldn't even come out and say, wow, you got five stars. I didn't even have a badge. I think the badge was on there, but it was a different person's name. It was just all wonky. Yeah. But I think when I go back and to be comfortable, yeah, I think being slightly uncomfortable gives you just the edge to always kind of like to push. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when I went on Top of the Pops, I think it was like, that was the first time I noticed that. And actually, walking up the same high street in where McDonald's was and knowing that things had changed, like I couldn't walk down that same high street that I've been doing as a kid where we'd all hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
It was different. It was like, these times it wasn't really selfies. It was like, it was people that wanted to like do an autograph, which come say hi. But I noticed people that I knew growing up, who were just, it was changing. It wasn't like, oh, yo, Craig, or not even a hi, Craig, you know, just a hand in the air and carrying walking. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, you just, it's a small area.
Yeah.
Now it was coming over. It was a story. It was like, wow, yeah, maybe I can come round and we can talk. Yeah. Whoa, when did this happen? Like, wow, come round.
Come round.
Like, where are we going round to? What are we going round to? Like, exactly. Mad. So things were changing, yeah. And there was mad love. It was like people were like showing crazy love. Yeah. And I just knew that something was starting to shift. Mm. So it was exciting, but also I felt like part of my childhood was starting to, I was growing into like a young man, I guess. It was very quickly because it was my whole life was going to change.
Yeah.
But every day, man, I'm grateful for everything that goes on. And I feel like for us to be doing what we're doing now, so many years being in it, is the true testament of career, as opposed to, you know, you were hyper and you had a good little time and there's a vibe and you, like, to be consistent, I think, is what real success is.
And this is what you're talking
about. And that means through hard times.
Yeah, 100%. Mm. You know what I mean? It was, and you were talking about earlier, which you're a prime example of, is knowing how to move with the times and knowing even that sometimes you can't just push things. Maybe you have to give it a little break. You know what I mean? Like, and it's staying true to what you're about, but moving with the times. But it doesn't feel, like you say, it doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel like you're going in there like, hey guys, I'm your age. You know, how you described it before was spot on, because you almost act like you're new to this. You know what I mean? And you're letting everyone else talk. Do you know what I mean? But we fully know your stripes, what you've done. Do you know what I mean? But I think that's really important, because in a way you are new to this. In a way you're respecting the fact that there's a new era and that you've got to come over with a new hat on. Do you know what I mean?
New hat. Yeah. That's that. You know, you nailed it, man. It's that just entering it, knowing that people actually don't really people. It's quite fast food when it comes to like stories. Yeah. People like stories because they like this anecdotes and talk about it, but they don't really care about like what you did and what you did and we did this. What are you doing now?
Yeah, it's
like
true.
What's going on now? Where are you now? Because if you talk about what you did, then we only see you as something that's in the past. Obviously, that's we can't have a conversation because you're something that's from like some relic thing. True. But if we talk now. I'm newcomer. Mm. Okay, we're going to go in the studio. And I said this a few times, like when I first got back on my wave, it was going in the studio with young producers and they'd literally play an instrument and I just freestyle on the mic.
Yeah.
And I think up until that point, it was like talking very much in the past tense of, you know what, rewind, my sister, my brother used to listen to your tune. It was wicked love, but it was a sister, brother, older brother, sister. Got on the mic. Bro, I sang like it was the Last Supper flow. You know when you give every melody.
I
gave everything. And I was sort of almost a little, I didn't know if I brought it. Mm. I was like, I don't know what he's going to say. Mm. Man pressed a little talkback button. He was gassed because he was in a studio that had a talkback button. So he was like through the thing. Yeah. He was gassed. Let's not forget, he's in a studio where there's a bit of glass between us. We're not like in the same room. Yeah, yeah. So to press that button, you're feeling sweet already, right?
Yeah.
Bro, he pressed it and he was gassed. Mm. Craig, you still got it. Oh my God. And I was like, it made me feel like, okay, that the deeper essence of what we have is always there. It's just being able to reshape it and present it differently. Yeah. Because if you've got talent or you've got like a skill set, you've got the skill set, it ain't going anywhere. It's just don't rest on your laurels and be like, everyone's just going to accept it in the same format. You know what I mean? It's just, you've got to come differently with
it. Yeah, for sure. I guess that's something you learn along the way as well. Like how the period where you went quiet and that, what happened as well, like for that to happen? And do you feel like you kind of fell out of love with, I don't know if music, but maybe the scene, I don't know. But yeah, talk us through that.
If I'm being honest, it's the best sort of analogy that I can use this, or metaphor is like having a record, You can't, you're not going to come with the drop, well, you could if you want to, but you go with the drop straight away. Just drop, and then the drop just carries on, and the verse is the drop, and you're just like, it's just, it's there. There's a dynamic in life, which you were saying about like sort of the ebb and flow of life, where like you have your moments where you're it's high, and then you need a verse, you need a lower part to appreciate the bit where it's going to come back up and hit you again with a drop. So and there's a career, that's that kind of flow that I, when you first start off and it hit, I literally came in on the drop. It was like Mac came with a drop. It's like, wow. You're gonna feel when it starts to come down a level, you're a bit like, isn't the drop supposed to just continue? This is part of it.
Child actors, happens to them, doesn't it? Like when it's massive, everything's amazing, and they get to like, you know, 14 years old, like, fuck, what am I doing? You know,
it's almost too much. So it went from 0 to 100. And those moments in the lower times, I think, are where you ask the questions. I mean, when you ask the question of like, I never wanted to be away from music. I love music. It was just, there's times when, like in the movie Soul, where you're just doing the thing. You're doing the music thing, and you're looking at the charts, and you're looking at the what's on radio, and you're looking at the stats, and you're looking at the, I say this like, Born to Do It, like, was like 7 million albums, which is crazy, mad, right? Man. Like, but Slick and Your Average, the second album, was 3.5 million. And the record company at the time was saying, really? Like, I'm a kid, So I'm just trying to process what's going on, 7 million albums is mad. I don't even know what that even is.
Three and like, a half 7 million is mad.
Only thing, bro, all I've seen is like 200 Big Mac tokens, in a park. That's my reference point. I don't know what 7 million is. When they said the 3.5 on the second, it was almost like this disappointment on their faces. It's like a kid who's looking at a reaction from their parents when they're a baby and saying, oh, that's good and that's bad, So I was like, oh, so 3.5 is a disappointment. We're on a decline. Bro, 3.5 million.
That's crazy.
Process that in your head. So I was already starting to become part of the stat world. And that was a detrimental thing for me because before I didn't know about that. It was just music. It was just, how does it feel? How's it feel in the club? Now it was like, oh, it went in at 3. Oh, it's not number 1 now. Oh, it went in at 5. Bro, what is that? And I think that was the part where I started to feel a bit of a discord from the kid who was just walking up to the shop and buying records and having fun and going to London. And you know what I mean? Where it was just a process to now it's business. And when you let business get too much involved in the labor of love, you're going to have this disconnect. And that disconnect actually then asks you, do you really want to be an artist? And I think in those low times when you're thinking, I don't know, it seems like the music ain't hitting as hard as it was. Seems like, I don't know, maybe did I have my time? And you question everything, of course, right? Yeah. Question your security and financial security, everything. Mm. Are people really into me? And then something inside of you, like a quiet voice is like saying, you still got it, man. Mm. You still got it. You don't actually need the guy with the talkback button. You still got it. It's in you, man. Just be open to lean into it a bit more. It's going to be different, but try. Next thing you know, this is what, if we want to ramp it back, is why I appreciate you guys so much. Because that invitation to come on your show with Mr. Jam, and I said this many times, was a breaking point for me. Because I was in a quiet time. I was in Miami. I was messing around out there, like in a home, not really making music. I get an invitation to come on a show where I was gassed. I was just like, wow, this is a vibe, man. It's garage. Do you know what I mean? They've got loads of guests coming through. It's going to be a wave, And then the love when I walked through the door was different. It wasn't a heady thing. It was a feeling. I felt like, this is mad. Big Nasty running up with the biggest hug ever, wearing his heart on his sleeve, like grabbing me straight away. Booty Man's my favorite tune ever, bro. I'm a fan. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. And then like I'm seeing the Stormies just walking out. This is early days. I mean, everything was going on in that building that day, right? Shola Amma's in the building, you're looking right. It's like, wow, I said the whole crap crew's there. Next thing, when I did that freestyle, that moment, it wasn't even just the freestyle yet. It was I felt like I had my crew, you know, your family. Like I got a big hug. They were like, you're back and we're family. And I was singing on the mic and everyone's behind me. I'm hearing ad-libs. I'm hearing hype. And I was thinking, this is love. And that was a moment for me that I will always in my heart cherish. And I will thank you right here, right now. And I'll say it 1,000 times over. What changed my life, that moment, because I was like, wow, thank you, because you instilled that fire in me again.
I feel like we all had goosebumps in that moment. And like that, like all of it just felt fresh. Like I'd never heard that Diplo track before. Like you returning back, it just felt like, you know, stars aligning moment again. And your moment specifically changed our trajectory too.
Yeah, man, in, for sure.
In a massive way. Wow.
Really appreciate, obviously, you know, how much you appreciate in that. But from our side as well, man, like that became, that it wasn't just the moment we shared in there was incredible, obviously. But that became an isolated clip that just got shared around, you know, the return of Craig David. And that's not just England. That means it's then an international thing, you know. Yeah. And then so I'll have, I'll be at a festival and some Swedish, you know, don't forget what we do is comedy and you've got to, you know, it's a cult comedy, you know, it's in English, it's not been dubbed or subtitled in many countries, so it's like if you speak English you get it, whereas music can translate, right? So like I'll have like a Swedish person come up to me at a festival, it's barely speaking English, they're like, oh, I love People to Do Nothing, I'm like, what, how do you, that like, oh well, we saw it because this Craig David clip got sent and then we looked into it and I was like, wow, there you go. You know, so you know, it works both ways,
that.
Man.
Nah, really. So, you know what? I appreciate you know that. It's like, it's just love. It really is. Like, you start to see things differently. You say, you know what? You're meant to meet certain people and they'll give you an opportunity that could have been missed, could have been passed, could have not happened. Yeah. You know what I mean? But there was something in my heart. I was like, wow, I'm excited to do this. And from that, it was that spiral thing. And then we had made loads of so many great times. We went to Fabric. That moment was one of my most iconic moments. For me, it was a wave because that room was hot in the back. That dressing room was hot.
Someone had a heart attack that night. You know that?
Bro, it was that hot.
They survived.
No, I think it was probably something else, but it wasn't the heat of the club, but it was hot.
Yeah, bro.
Wow.
Well, I wanted to ask as well, actually, like, you know, you just touched on the fact that, like, you might have not taken that opportunity, but you did. But how was it? Because it's different. We're not just like musicians. We're like comedy actors. Do you know what I'm saying? So how did you feel about even taking that up as an opportunity? Because it could have been hit or miss. Do you know what I'm saying?
Do you know what? If I'm being honest here, and this goes back to a feeling that you get.
Yeah.
I mean, the satire that you guys deal with is you're clever. Like, you know what I mean? Sasha Baron Cohen. When you look at like playing Ali G, but then at the same time you can do Borat, but then he'll stand up on stage and talk to you about internet like privacy laws and just like shut it down differently. Like, you know what I mean?
Little TED talks.
He'll let you know. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you're like, this is intelligent. I was watching him actually saying that, which you should check for Man on the Moon, Andy Kaufman.
Oh yeah.
There's a documentary Jim Carrey did recently, Jim and Andy, if you've seen that, right?
I don't know. I heard of it. I need to write that down.
Okay, please check it, because it's like, you'll love it. Because Jim Carrey's, he gets it again.
He's a G.
He goes in, and especially holding characters, like he will hold a character when he comes off stage. He's done his lines, and he's still like in the character. He didn't know who you were going to get. It was like, wow, is Jim Carrey here, or is it the character?
Yeah,
love that.
Yeah.
But what I loved about you guys is that the intelligence of it, the playfulness that you brought to garage music and bringing it to a new audience. It was actually embellishing all the moments of the best parts of garage, but also peeling back the layers to be like, you know, it was raw. You know what I mean? And the power wasn't plugged in, and we walked up to the club and it all went a bit pear shaped. People could relate to it. It's just like, you know, this is real life. Garage music wasn't just like, I don't know, you're in your loafers and your Moschino's suit and you got your bottle of champagne. Yeah. It was like, I can't get in the club. And the bouncers are doing the nonsense. Yeah. And it's like, it's
I'm
talking,
in a pirate
like,
radio station. Man told me going around the back.
In the kitchen. Yeah. You know, you can't try getting the block of flats and the doorbell don't work. And you're just real life stuff. Yeah. That I was just like, this is amazing. Yeah. So for me, walking in was on one hand, like, I don't know for you, I'll ask you this question. Yeah. But I felt the shift from, we may have like something, we got our Corrupt FM thing going on in one respect, or People Do Nothing kind of vibe, but then it shifted to when you got on the mic, You're spitting bars. You're spitting. I'm an MC now. This is not game. Yeah. It shifted to like, this is game time's over now. Like, I don't even know what anyone's saying. We haven't got, there's nothing to say here. We are, I don't know where this is going, but it's bad. And I was like, yes, that's what I'm talking about. No one knew what was, is this real? Is this the game? Is that, is it vibing? Is it? And the thing was, it was real. That's the thing. It ultimately came down to the part where it was like, I heard MCing. I heard people wanted to spit extra bars that they were like pulling out. They're thinking, right, I need to get on the mic now. I need to go another 20 bars, do a little four extra. I was throwing a man off. Do you know what I mean? I got to do 100%. Something crazy.
And you're right, bro, because for me, like, and for Hugo, like, music was our first thing. Music was our love. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, all this is what we grew up on. And for me, the MC never left, man. I'm still, though I'm joking, I've still got the ego of the MC that wants to get it out there. Like, it's a joke, but I want you to know I can do it. You know what I mean? But then on top of that, so usually that's like a bit of a little bit of in a battle with the original character, because the original character's probably meant to be more of a more shit than I'm doing. You know what I mean? Because I'm actually caring. You know what I mean? And then you're stepping in, someone we're massive fans of, we looked up to and we'd never met before. And doing something that it's really hard to stay in character, you know, when there's a moment. Right. So really, I'm my character wouldn't smile usually, and wouldn't even rate other people like that, innit? But I'm just like, hey, fuck it, I don't give a fuck at this point. This moment's crazy. It's me now, man. Fuck it.
But it was like improv session. It started off of where we're at. The lines got dashed. Yeah. It was like, okay, just. Whatever goes now, I know where.
And it made sense, and it worked. It worked,
It did.
Crazy, crazy.
And kudos to you guys for putting a platform on like that for all the artists that came through, because I felt like everyone got a shine on that. They could get a moment to kind of be heard. And also, you set it up so it was like new school and people who've been in the scene for a while coming through. I just love that you gave people the opportunity in all that
we got,
you
know, accepted.
I mean? And that's the up on the top. I'm seeing British podcast.
And that's,
sorry, I just
and
saw
that's the level you're dealing with, like, here, mate.
We've got to let them know because it's real though.
So talk us through. So after that, all the TS5 kicked back off, and actually, when you explain your story, it's almost like that's where that first started, really, with you. Because like maybe people are like, "Right, well, Craig David's DJing and that," but that's where you started. So was that nice to kind of feel free and just like create a vibe for yourself, sort of thing, and come back with that?
Bro, it was the best feeling ever because I'd gone from doing mixtapes. Mm. Selling the mixtapes, doing it, you know, making your money, DJing. Then Rewind happened with the Artful Dodger. Then the album came out. Next thing I was like with Fraser T. Smith playing the guitar, doing acoustic stuff. Then we had the band, and then it was a whole band experience, which I never experienced that before. And then the DJing thing got kind of put on a sort of back burner. It wasn't happening for a while. And I was like, man, I missed it. So then when I got the chance to do the house parties in Miami, so I moved to Miami, I bought a home there, starting to throw house parties because I was just a little bit over how the club scene was there. It just felt a little bit like, a bit too elitist for how I remember it. You know what I mean? Red ropes and all this kind of, it was calm, but it's just like, it wasn't for me. So I was like, okay, cool. How can I bring this in my house? Make everyone VIP, drinks on tap, good vibe, playing DJ set, make everyone feel special.
So I didn't know about that, bro. That's crazy.
Yeah, so when you came in the house, and it was, I must admit, that house was beautiful. The view was crazy and it was set up for it. Speakers were right, man. It sounded crisp. You know, you get on the mic, it just sounds crispy. Yeah. But the sub, there was one like part in the room, but if you stood there, we're talking Notting Hill Carnival style. It was hitting the bass was low, 20 hertz kind of stuff, big time. And I wanted to evoke that feeling in people. I wanted everyone to walk in and I'm going to give you the shout out that you didn't get in the club and you're not going to get in the club later on. So 10:30 people come around the house tonight. I'd be like, yo, I see you, Marco. Yeah, I see you there. Wow, shirt looking crazy. Yeah, the girls are clocking you right now. Big him up. Next thing, the girls are like, wow, who's Marco? Let's go. Bring him in. Yeah. Bring him in. Bring the girls. She's looking nice. Wow, you're looking nice. And the red dress over there. I see you at the bar. Like, I just giving hype. I was a shout out, man. Sick. And then in the middle of it, one girl saying, oh, can you sing one of yours? I'm like, not really sort of want to sing like my own tunes too tough. And she's looking crisp though. Can you just, maybe I'll do a just a little bit of 7 days, and then just a verse and chorus. Yeah. Oh wow, that'd be lovely if you could do like a little bit. Next thing you know, man, singing like 20 tunes of greatest hits, going on, like,
dripping with sweat, topless,
dripping with bro, going mad, right? So it was a good time. So I wish. Well, I'm gonna make that happen in a different way somehow. Yeah, because I don't live in Miami anymore. But it was that party doing the DJing thing that reignited all that stuff. Started to record it, put it on. I did like have my Pro Tools on, recording the session. Then was putting up on SoundCloud, and then it picked up as I was on Kiss for Kiss picked up as a show for an hour. Then it was on Capital. Then we, do you know what I mean? So it started this. Oh, I can DJ, and it's called TS5. Like, what the hell's that? It's like, okay, it's the name of my apartment. They called that the level, the tower suite level.
Oh, see.
I was number 5.
Wow, yeah.
That was TS5, and I said, "Oh, just run with it." I don't know. That's what everyone's texting. I'm coming TS5 tonight.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
And then we got the call. Do you want to try this thing? It was Shapes in Oslo, a smaller show. There was one other in Oslo that we did. It was another one in Hackney that we did as a smaller club in Hackney. It was the first one. Can't remember the name anyway. But we did that as a tester. You do that one and then it gets to Shapes. And then we moved on from that and it went to Brixton. Mm-hmm. And then we're doing Brixton Academy with it. And it's like, wow, this is actually working. Like, gone from a house party to actually people are coming and buying tickets for this. Then I got the call to do the pool parties in Ibiza. And it was like, that thing, what? Yeah. That's where it went different. I was like, wow.
That's sick.
So that was it, bro. Yeah, it just happened again. And then now I do the DJ sets. And so it feels like I can full circle.
Well, that's it, man. And it's like a good lesson in like when you're kind of losing things or losing your way, just to stop. Mm. Strip back and it's like, what do I actually enjoy? Like when you start those house parties in your house, you're not like, right, this is another business venture. I'm just going to try and flip this. It's like, I'm just going to create a vibe.
Have fun.
And have fun. Because that's how it starts. That's how, you know, ironically, that is how all the business ventures come out of it, when you actually give a shit about something and you just do it for the love. Do you know what I mean? And then
follows. The real balance in acting life is knowing when it's starting to, it's fun, it's enjoyable, it's turning into something successful, it's starting to become a bit commercial, it's a commodity. Mm. It's leaning, it can start to lean over, tip over into another world, and you want to just anchor in the middle of it. Because it's not to say things that are popular become successful and they can become something that people want to pay money and do. That's cool. But it's when it becomes too much of the end product and not the love that you're doing for it. So you're absolutely right, man. I loved it, man. I love the process of being in the studio. Mm. Being in the studio with you guys, that for me, the byproduct is a tune. We do tunes. Like that's the skill set. Like we didn't come here; it wasn't just a community center thing. We just came out with a play Monopoly, vibe around, right? we came in. We had a purpose. Yeah. There's a vibe, but we're gonna have a good time. And you're telling me stories, and I'm just getting to know
that's
you
what I mean.
In a different way.
Most of it's life. That, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? For anyone out there that doesn't know, I don't know if by this time. This will be out, whether it will be out or not.
I think it's this.
Yeah. Okay,
it'll be out.
Okay, brilliant. So listen, we got to tune out with Craig David, you fucking lucky bastards. Summertime, go check
people
that.
People like, guys, when are you going to talk about the tune? When are you going to talk about the tune? They're like, what's the
I completely forgot. We got a big tune out, so make sure you lot listen to that. Yeah, fucking hell.
Yeah,
you're right. And when you do have that vibe, it's usually the byproduct of it is better anyway. So... lucky for us, because it's a fucking banger. So make sure.
It's a crazy one. Like, I don't want to hype something. It's like, because the tune's out, so everyone can be you don't need me to tell you. You don't listen to it. You're like, but it's a banger.
And it can't not be. It's MJ Cole, Corrupt, Craig David, Fred again. Boom, come on. Do you know what I mean? You're laughing. Do you know what I mean?
Laughing.
Four for the price of one. Do you know what I mean?
Or it's like, do you mean it's a bargain?
Great deal.
You know what I mean?
Great deal.
It's a full bargain.
The sandwich. What's your favorite sandwich? We're winding down towards the end. So one of the questions we ask all our guests, and I feel like it's a really important question that just can help
everyone.
Can help everyone and can help Manic. Explain about the person is what's your favorite sandwich?
Boy. You know what? I'm gonna go for a
I like you never get thrown off. You're like, yep, yeah, boy, boom.
No, we got to. But you know what? It's going to be a Marks and Spencer's. We're going to get bougie. Yeah, you got to go. Trust me. It's not going to be. It's not going to be the petrol station thing. It can't be those ones that you know you've seen them before. Like you've seen them before. But like you said, three you days you've seen it before. Like,
but hold on, you used to live in Miami though. So what about like a Cubano or something like that? Yeah, and the Cuban sandwiches and shit.
Those Cuban sandwiches.
I've never had one, but I've seen them on.
Yeah, I've seen them on that film.
I mean. Them Philly steak things where it's like crazy. Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, that's a Philly thing, but even though we're talking about Miami, but it was okay. But sandwich, I'm gonna go for man. You know what? Weirdly enough, like one chicken and mayo kind of sweet corn combo from a three would be good for Marks and Spencer. Okay, you know, like get a little selection.
Do you know what? I tell you what, then you can have a top three.
Okay, let's go for chicken and mushroom. Not chicken and mushroom pie. Let's go for a chicken and sweet corn mayo combo. Yeah. Let's go for some kind of fish thing. Some prawn. Prawn mayo. Okay, same kind of combo. And then to flip it out. We're gonna go for a tuna. Tuna mayo. Mayo's the thing. That's the common theme.
The glue, baby.
Cake it with mayo, and it's gonna taste all right.
That's sick. That's amazing. And then finally, to round it up, we get all of our guests to. We're very arrogant, you see. We get all of our guests to ask us three questions. The three questions.
Okay, cool. What's your favorite garage tune?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Man, that's so tough
for me to spit over as well. I've got an inner MC
and rewind it. I'm not lingering here. If you don't see, it's gonna be a matter. I thought I said that we were friends. I thought we did the friendship thing and the hug.
Rewind. And then the second one, would be for me. It would be for spitting over. Standard Hoodlum issue, ES Dubs, and it's the I'm going techie with this one as well. It's the Zed Bias remix.
Oi, that's how you're moving.
I'm moving like hard. A DJ. You know, MCs don't really usually know like the way. Yeah. I'm like, you know, the one that sounds like dong dong dong. I found out the name once, exactly. And now I'm always using it. You know, and it's the, of course, the Zed Bias remix as well.
Boss, I love that. Hugo, what's your tune?
Rewind, I don't even know who made this tune, but I know the title of it because my white label just had HC on it, and it's called Hobson's Choice, and it has an Aaliyah sample on it. We can get down.
Yeah, you know that one, innit?
Tune.
Hard. Oh, you know what? There's an Artful Dodger tune as well.
Yeah.
It Ain't Enough as well. It's emotional. Love that tune as well. It's a banger.
Tune. I know that one well. Yeah, man. That was good times, man. One. Okay, what's your favorite board games? A board game to pull for, to draw.
Yeah, okay. My favorite board game would probably be in English, it would be Monopoly, but I like there's a Czech version because my mum's Czech, maybe because nostalgia, I grew up with it, you know, like so. It's a game called, it's basically like Monopoly, but it's called Dostie Asaske in Czech, which means races and bets, and it's about race horses and betting on them, and you buy different stables. It's like Monopoly.
They didn't have enough sort of landmarks.
Yeah, it's with a horse.
They could only do the cathedral.
Yeah.
That's mad. I love that. Stables. Yeah. That's wicked. What's yours, bro?
Mine's Monopoly as well.
Yeah.
I'm serious about it as well. Very serious. Yeah. I play hard.
Okay. If there was one destination that you could go to perform in, in the world that you could go to perform in, where would that be? Where would that be? I'm trying to finesse something, and where would you want to perform in the world? And you could be, it can already be an event that's already there, or it could just be the destination that you just like, wow, that would be something.
I know. Well, I'd like to do South by Southwest, is it called?
Oi!
Like a festival. Yeah. Big,
that would be wavy.
Sort of. Maybe like, obviously have a little moment, but like do a takeover where we do a 10. That would be sick. I'd love that.
Oh, that would be hard.
And bring Craigie out as well.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Bro,
That'd
bro,
be hard.
Bro, bring yeah. me, pull it
I think
out,
it'd it probably ticket. More be the other way around. But
listen,
but I'd love to do that.
Nah, you say that. You say that, guys. Trust me, you're gonna have the in. You know what I mean?
I'd love that.
For me, it'd probably be. Do you know what? Yeah, something that may be similar because. We've got so many, I mean, most of our fans have obviously always been from England, but then as of recent, the last few years where it's been on Netflix and, you know, more and more people are learning about it and lockdown probably got more and more Australian and American fans. And we've been out to America and we've done, but more on like a promo run for a DVD campaign.
Because it came out on DVD, it's probably Alan Partridge.
Yeah, yeah. No one buys DVDs.
But they paid for us to go out.
They wasted their money for us to come out there. And then we did one gig, which is like on a rooftop in LA, and it was, you know, like a membership standing there.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, that was incredible, but no one's moving around.
Yeah, just sort of like 45-year-old like guys that work in tech companies in leather jackets and we're just screaming bars.
Like, wow. Yeah, just like, oh, it's really great, yeah. But like, so I'd love to go to America and do like a proper, either like a sick rave in downtown LA or like, just like a cool club in New York where it, and something small as well, you know what I mean? Like, because like obviously you know what it's like, Craig, the bloody problems these days, we're playing to about 5,000 people.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You wanna make it into it. Yeah. Get you. I understand. It's not a ticket situation. It's not a problem with sales. It's just
the vibe.
Keep it close and intimate.
You know, Craig, I'd say I want to do Wembley and that. Yeah. That's probably on the cards anyway. No, I'm bringing it back.
It's done.
You got to.
People want to feel up and close and personal. Do you know what I'm
love. I miss those gigs, man. I love those. It's like when we did Fabric, and there were literally people at our knee level. You know, like, and it almost felt like we was in the crowd, didn't it?
Yeah, someone was trying to take my shoes off. My great 95s.
Can I ask you one more? Because I think it would just be good for me. Because I think it's going to help. One, I'm going to check out the movie that you recommended to me. I think that's going to be wicked. But what is your favorite book? Like, what's your go to? Like your book that's like.
Oh yeah, I got one.
That one is my
I've
one.
Got one.
Tell me.
It's in my room. Anthony Bourdain, Kitchen Confidential. Anthony Bourdain is like, he's like an idol to me, man. He's like, I found out about him more because he does like this, like a travel and food show, but not like, hey guys, we're here, we're trying this. It's like, it's proper, and he learns about different cultures, and like, he's like, he's a G, man, and he's this very sick writer as well, and he puts his narration over the top with a, you know, like with like a bit of dark humor and like touches on politics and just brings issues from different countries up and that wouldn't be known, you know, on a usual TV program,
love
but
that.
Through food and stuff. And he originally was a chef in New York, like back in the 70s and 80s, where it's all about, you know, they're all doing fucking LSD and heroin in the fucking kitchen and shit. And he had a big problem. And he wrote a book about it. And then through the back of that book, he became the guy that goes traveling and filmed and stuff like that. But that's the original book.
That's the book.
A really interesting story. Yeah, Kitchen Confidential.
Done.
Yeah.
I'll pull for that. You're a boss in the game. Wicked. I love this.
Actually, there was a book. There was a book I read when I was like, I don't know, like 21. It's called The Alchemist. That was really good.
That changed me.
For a month, it changed me.
Nah, bro, that was the start of everything. It wasn't when you were 21. About 24, we was in Thailand together.
Yeah.
And that was the start of people to do nothing after that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It changed everything.
Yeah, kind of.
That's
let go
big.
Of a
it was
load
crazy.
Of shit.
You know, it was crazy. Yeah, you're like this crazy. We was reading at the same time, I think, and you just read this chapter about not looking for something. If you stop looking for something, it will turn up, sort of thing. Like, that was the metaphor within the story. He lost his wallet, was looking, and we were, you know, bean bags on the beach in Thailand and that bare people
Aladdin
around,
trousers
like, on drinking.
On. Right.
Trying to fucking search. Trying to search for this thing. Like, he's going nuts. Like, fuck that, my wallet, up, like, whatever, passport, card and that, everything's in there. And he's like, you know what, fuck it. And then we stopped looking for it. He looked down, it was just there on the floor wherever he just collapsed and sat down.
I'm all right.
Go. I love that.
My mum's not going to have to fly out and drop me some cash.
Mad. Imagine. That could have just been a long situation, that whole. But The Alchemist, good shout.
Yeah, man,
good shout.
Game changer. All right, listen.
Guys, I love this.
Thank you so much for your time, bro. I really appreciate it, man.
Do you know what? It's a pleasure. And like I said before, and I said it like 1,000 times over, appreciate you. This is a proper full circle how it should be. You know, you meet and it's like, this is not an overnight thing. It's like,
Years
from meeting to then here, it's going to be...
Come on.
different when people hear
this.
They're already hearing it, but you're gonna you know what I'm saying? For the people already hearing it, but if you ain't hearing it, you're gonna go
time traveling right now.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Some McFly ticket.
Bro, thank you so much, man. Yeah, honestly, thanks for all your time, man. Really appreciate it, brother.
It's a pleasure.
Easy, brother. Yeah, safe for today. Completely forgot to ask the last question. Are you our new best mate?
Bro, I'm 100% you guys' best mate. Listen, the ride we're about to go on is going to be different. The wave we're on, jeez, wow, what a time to be alive.
This is the outro. See you later. And good luck. Stay lucky, boy. Stay lucky, boy.
Oh, there you go, baby boy. How you feeling?
Yeah, man. Very good. Yeah. You know, when you've left something and you had a great time.
Yeah.
I feel like that.
Yeah, yeah. Elated.
Feeling that sort of energy. Yeah, man. Yeah. And also, like, even just for this show, this shit show, we've got Craig David on.
I know. What a way to end the series.
I know, man. And also, like, I know he always, like, breads us and fucking says he's grateful. But the real truth of it is that he fucking propelled us so much bigger. Really big up Craig David.
Man,
he put our, you know, our show, our music, our live show, he brought that to a much bigger audience than we could have ever.
And it's funny because the people that listen to this podcast to us are shit munchers, and it's really refreshing. In this ep's very refreshing because finally we're the shit munchers compared to Craig David. So,
No, I mean, we're always shit.
He sees us how we see our little fans, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the pathetic shit munchers that listen to this show.
Yeah, well, I think he's definitely done us a massive favour. And, you know, with just the one extra thing, our tune and our podcast.
Wait, listen, like, talking about the bloody nice tune, guy. If you haven't heard it yet, Corrupt FM featuring Craig David,
Wow.
Yeah, produced by MJ Cole and Fred again, huh? Yeah,
come on,
cuz. Track entitled Summertime. Go and check that out.
Yeah.
So this is the end of the series. Yeah. Thanks so much for all of you lot for listening. Obviously, I'm joking. You know, we're all shit munchers, and I love you all. Now we really appreciate all the support.
What are you saying? We get vaccinated and we do this in the real.
Yeah. Let's vax up and do it. Series three. We'll do it in a studio, man. And we'll film it for everyone asking.
Yeah.
We'll get waxed. We'll get vaxed. And we'll do it in the studio. Mm.
Where are you going to get waxed?
All over, baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to wax just your beard, though.
Thank you. Because you have no body.
No, I actually have hardly any, Especially for a Kurdsman like myself.
I know. Yeah. Thank God for your mum.
Exactly. So think about that, guys, okay? Think about my lack of body hair from now until series three. Enjoy. Spread the word. And see you later.
See you later.
Australian. Safe.
Yeah. Or New Zealander.
Exactly. Up to you. See you later.
How do you say it? Is it New Zealander?
New Zealite.
Thought so.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Cheers, man.
Hey, yo! Hey, yo! Will everyone shut the fuck up? I want to give a crazy, stupid, dope fly shout out to everyone involved in this podcast.
Nah, fuck that. Who's the brain that produces this show, man?
Man like Rupert Magending.
And who's the audio editor?
James Torrance, check
it. House. Who's the video editor?
Ha ha, James Lord.
And who does all the illustrations?
It's Alison the Ink.
Mad on the visuals, bruh.
Shout all the posse down at Acast Laboratory. Hip-hop, am I right, hustler?
You're not wrong, Playboy Valentino.
Whoa, what a bloody series that was, eh?
I know, we just listened to the whole thing back.
Yeah, it was fucking incredible. It
took a long time.
The highs, the lows.
Yeah, what a journey.
Yeah, Hugo came around Miami, did an all-nighter, and we just listened to it topless.
Yeah, like staring at the ceiling.
Yeah, with a starlight on.
Yeah, we should do that again.
What are some of your favourite bits? No, like a favourite line of mine, sorry.
Oh, so many.
We just listened to it fresh, so you should know.
I know. The one in the Amelia episode, you know the one.
Oh, yeah.
The one you always reference.
Yeah. Which one?
I can't remember right now. But you
something
always
about what's your favourite sandwich or something like that.
Yeah, I love that line.
I liked yours. When you said like what you've been up to today, you say that some episodes. That's sick.
Yeah, that's good.
Like a catchphrase of yours.
Yeah.
No.
I sort of just say it without thinking.
No, I know, but it still is natural and it's just some. It's just feels impactful. Good.
Feels right. At the
yeah,
time.
It feels right. It feels right.
Yeah.
Oh, no, my one, one of my favourite ones, when I say to a guest, how did you start on your journey?
Yeah, that's really good, man.
That's really good, because that gets them talking.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's one way.
They end up telling their journey and that's really good. And then,
yeah, I use that.
So that's, you know, that, and that's what you're getting. That's the sort of shit you're getting from us.
That's the level.
Yeah, yeah, that's the levels. Now we've got loads more new best friends as well in the on the WhatsApp group.
Yeah, it all adds up, doesn't it? Yeah.
I don't know if I definitely asked everyone this series, but I probably did.
It goes without saying, really.
Yeah, it goes without saying.
Because they've all listened to it.
We also said we was going to do loads of things like live Twitch things and shit like that. Which you didn't really do in the end, did we?
No, but lockdown sort of finished.
Yeah, lockdown's finished. Chatting Shit Series 3 will come back one day, but more video-based once all our stuff's died down.
Yeah.
People Do Nothing, the movie, out in cinemas now.
If go watch it.
If you're listening to this in the future, then it's probably on a streaming platform.
Yeah.
But don't, if you listen to this now, don't assume it will be and definitely go and see it in the cinemas.
Yeah. Or just drive down or go down to the local cinema and see if it's on.
No, exactly. Also, just because I do love cinemas, but I also love listening to albums. Is there anything?
Well, there is a great album that I've been listening to at the moment called Corrupt FM's Greatest Hits Volume 1.
Nice.
Which is available everywhere.
Yeah. What's your favourite line from me in that?
Oh, God. So many.
No,
so
I know, but go on. Think.
Corrupt FM and that's my line.
Yeah.
Storming through your settlement like elephants.
Yeah. I didn't do that on this album, but oh, no, I did. Yeah,
you did. Nice. Yeah. I like Rude Boys. Rude Boys is a good track.
Hey, Rude Boys is a bad boy track.
Yeah, tune. The recording tune process both. was fun.
Yeah, no, we had General Levy in on that one. That was sick.
Yeah, he's a G, man.
He sat in a chair and did the whole thing, which was pretty sick. Dripping a sweat. Loved that.
Loved it.
Maybe get him on the next series.
That would be amazing, yeah.
Probably get him to do some, maybe record a new track with him, but do it as an episode.
Well, he could do our theme tune, maybe.
That's a good shout. Anyway, talking of theme tunes, there's been some questions about you.
About my album.
Are you going to release any of the tracks that have been on the theme tunes? People ask about it all the time.
Yeah, I could do.
Spotify, man.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I just need to get mastered.
If people are listening to this and really want that to happen, then just pester him. What's your Instagram? It's at Hugo Bossman, isn't it?
Yeah, there's an O in there somewhere, but... Yeah.
There's a zero instead of the O. Work it out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Or the Chat and Shit podcast, Also follow me if you like Super 220. All right, sweet. That's series 3 done.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
I'm going to put my skis on and ski straight off my balcony.
Sick.
No, because I've got a canal outside.
Oh, like a jet ski?
No.
Are they the same as skiing skis?
No, just normal ski.
Like water skis?
No, normal snow ski.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
See you later.
Film it.
I will. Bye.
Cheers, man. Bye.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.